The door opened slowly to a young man in his 20s, wearing a grey chef-looking shirt with large black buttons, black slacks and an apron around his waist. He was clearly a caterer.
Come in, please.
The young man offered a half-smile as he glanced at who was at the door. He did a double take when he reached Austin, his eyes widening slightly and his face going red.
Sir, please.
He stared at his shoes and made himself smaller as Austin lifted his hand for Jessie to go first. She kept hold of him as she stepped through, and he followed her in, not sparing the boy a second glance.
Go, go.
Niamh motioned Patty in. The woman was practically bursting with energy. She did love a party with a bunch of strangers. Something was fundamentally wrong with her.
I cannot believe you are going to embarrass the miss by bringing a cooler. Her mother never should have let you borrow it.
I wouldn't have had to borrow one if you hadn't taken mine out of the trunk before we left for that trip, you donkey. Mine was at least cleaner than this one. And you're talking about embarrassing Jessie. Cop onto yourself. You're wearing a cape, for fuck's sake.
How dare you? I'd expect something like that from the Dicks. But from you, I expect better.
I haven't a notion as to why.
They reached the door, and she passed through.
Oh, ma'am.
The boy pointed at her cooler.
You don't need to bring that in. We are well stocked.
She paused and stared at him.
Are you now? You have poutine, do you?
What?
Poutine. The Irish equivalent of American backwoods moonshine. Highly illegal stuff. I met a lad last night who'd just come back from Donegal. Smuggled the stuff in. I traded him a flask of the Bassahoonock brew, which can kill your arse hair, for a bottle of this stuff. It's lovely, actually. Flavoured with blackberry. Much tastier than the Bassahoonock brew. But not nearly so potent. A nice sipping beverage, methinks. I'll give you a taste if you'd like. But no, you're not well stocked. Try again.
She continued in, clunking the cooler off the doorframe, and then swinging it a little too much and hitting the back of Aurora's legs. Aurora half turned, everything about her posture given a not so idle threat. Nice try, gorgeous. You're much too pretty to be taken seriously. Go flirt with married men and make all the wives jealous.
Her expression changed, the shift barely perceptible, and her eyes started to sparkle.
I just might.
Their movement into the house, which looked like any old house to Niamh, with a front sitting room full of people staring at them, slowed and then stopped. Niamh edged out from behind Aurora as an older woman approached Jessie and Austin. Her grey-white hair was pulled up in a half-do of some sort, with the ends curled under. Her flowered dress was god-awful, tied at the middle and hanging down past her knees, with a few strands of pearls around her neck. She seemed to think quite a lot of herself, given the way she strutted up with her nose held high and a look of bored distaste on her face. Niamh set down the cooler with a thump, pulled off the lid, and took out a beer. She'd need a glass for the poutine, because it had been put into a grape schlur bottle, and this wasn't the time for people to think she was minding her manners with a non-alcoholic drink. She had an image to project to these people. She replaced the lid and sat down on the cooler, popping the beer as she did so. Broken Sue joined her by the wall, staring hostilely at everyone looking Niamh's way. He'd heard about the dinner between Jessie and her ex. They all had, and hadn't taken the news well. He was here to make his distaste known. Niamh couldn't wait to watch.
Jacinta, hello.
The woman looked at Austin Steele, who was looking very dapper this evening in a navy blue blazer with faux leather navy lapels, a crisp bow tie to match, and a pressed shirt underneath. He even had a little navy and white pocket square to accent the look. He could do masculine in his sleep, but now he also came off as posh, rich, and stylish. Perfect for this party of Egypt's.
Lottie? Hello.
Jessie wrapped her arm around Austin's. Lottie's gaze zipped down to the new ring. Neve had to hand it to Austin Steele. She'd had no idea how much of a transformation a little piece of jewelry could have on Jessie. Normally, Jessie didn't advertise her claim on Austin Steele, even though she'd most certainly defend it. But she was flashing that ring around like a billboard or a bullhorn. She hovered around Austin Steele like their mating was fresh, like she couldn't believe her luck and wanted everyone in the entire world to know about it. Basically, what Austin Steele always did with his posture and the intensity of his magic and power. It probably should have occurred to all of them that Janes did mating differently. Now they had the proof. Good for Austin Steele to think of it right before it really counted. Well, counted for Jessie. This party didn't mean shite for the rest of them.
Lottie, this is my fiancé, Austin. Austin, this is Matt's mother and the host of this fabulous party. Her name is Charlotte, but she goes by Lottie.
Austin, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Lottie didn't smile as she held out her hand. Austin Steele shook it, matching the expression.
Nice to meet you. Jess has spoken of you.
Neve felt a grin bud at the undercurrent of disapproval. Lottie's eyes narrowed just slightly, and Jessie fidgeted.
This party is going to go all kinds of wrong.
Yes, it would, and Neve planned to help it get there.
It's so unfortunate that your parents couldn't come, but I see their cooler made an appearance.
Jessie flinched again. Panic rising through the Ivy House bond momentarily, before she calmed herself again.
She's Irish. She does as she pleases. Let me introduce Austin's family. This is his grandmother, Naomi.
Grandmother? Gracious, you look young enough to be his mother. You must have started young.
No. Good genetics can carry you a long way, if you have them.
Yes, and his niece, Aurora?
Jessie stepped aside to showcase the rest of their group.
And his brother back there, Broken?
Sue. They call me Sue.
Lottie's eyebrows climbed.
Sue, fine. Our family friend, Patty, just back there.
Hello, Lottie. Lovely home. I just adore your throwback to the 80s. Don't change a thing, no matter what anyone says. I do love the golden oldies, and what better way to express it than with your house, right? Fantastic.
Patty for the win.
Right.
Jess's face turned crimson, and a smile threatened.
And hiding in the back with Jimmy is our butler, Mr. Tom.
Your butler? Yes, Matt mentioned that when he arrived earlier. And your butler tends to wear a cape everywhere he goes, correct? Jimmy, come here, my little darling. Come say hello to Grandmama.
Is she for real?
Jimmy walked through everyone, prim and proper in a suit that was a little too small in the limbs. He wore that expression kids wore when they were meeting a family member they didn't jibe with.
Merry Christmas.
Lottie put her hands on his shoulders and exaggeratedly air-kissed each cheek.
Yes. Did you have a nice day yesterday? We missed you. We thought you were going to spend Christmas with all of us. But I guess your mom's poor nerves come first. You're a good boy for making the sacrifice.
Neve put out her hands, looking around with raised eyebrows. It's as if she thinks Jessie buggered off or something. Aurora turned to Neve.
At least we don't have to worry about her talking behind our backs. She's plenty happy to do it to our faces.
Apparently, two could play that game.
Run along to the family room. We have some presents for you to open. I think you're going to like them. You know how Grandmama always spoils you.
Compared to Mr. Tom, Grandmama didn't know what spoiling meant. That boy had gotten so much crap yesterday that Jesse had taken some of the gifts away, including a heavy gold and diamond necklace chain that some musician or other liked to show off. Meath had to admit Jimmy's delight in each gift had been fun to watch, though. She'd imagined that was the only incentive that could have made Mr. Tom knowingly risk Jesse's annoyance.
Is that everybody? With such a large party, I'd hate to miss anyone.
Aurora turned back again and rolled her eyes at Niamh.
Please, welcome.
Lottie stepped aside and lifted her hands.
Welcome to my home. The dining room has food and drinks, if you didn't bring your own. And there's plenty of room to mingle. If you need something, anything at all, like some ice for your cooler, just ask one of the service people in grey.
She smiled condescendingly.
Jesse, might I have a word?
A wave of uncomfortable emotion surged through the Ivy House bond. But Jesse, thankfully, didn't show a reaction.
Of course.
Jesse turned back to everyone, making sure they were all okay before stepping away.
What do we do now?
You're hungry, aren't you? Go eat. I'm gonna get a drink and mingle, as the woman said. I want to see if the rest of them are as generous with their insults.
Niamh finished her beer, handed it off to the kid who'd answered the door, who was still waiting there, watching them with a disbelieving expression, and stood.
Want me to get that?
Broken Sue bent to grab the handle.
Do you really have poutine?
I do. Do you want some? They probably don't have enough whiskey in this house to give you the needed buzz. And if you're too sober, you might lose your patience and brain one of these idiots. I also have the Batahoonock brew, but that might be a little too strong right out of the gate.
This might be a stupid question, but are you never concerned about your liver?
That is a stupid question, yes, given I am magical and heal quickly, and also given my magical breed. But if you want to hope they have good bourbon in this mediocre house that costs too much, by all means.
Let's try the Irish moonshine.
There you go, sure you might as well. He led them into the dining room, still within hearing distance of Lottie and Jesse, who stood just behind them, near the entrance to the kitchen. He set the cooler down by the wall and picked up two crystal glasses from the breakfast bar along the side. Austin Steele met them there, pouring himself a generous helping of whiskey from the breakfast bar. Aurora grabbed a plate and headed up to the other side, where a table holding various metal buffet warmers had been set up.
Gonna be a long day.
Looks like it. This is about how it went the other night. Though Lottie seems a little more obviously salty than her son. Quite the family.
Quite the family.
Lovely to see you again, Jacinta. Would you like a drink? Or have you quit? I remember you used to indulge a little too heavily in years past. Matt tried and tried to get you to slow down, but maybe now you've seen the light?
Aurora turned slowly from the line for food, looking at the pair of them.
It'll get worse. Let her get her bearings. She'll push back. After she does, we'll dominate this party.
Oh, Matt didn't like my drinking at all, so a glass of wine after dinner was too heavy for his taste. What can I do for you, Lottie?
The other woman smiled without humor, spreading her hands a little.
Not a thing. I just wanted to check in and catch up. It's been an age. How are your parents? Are they okay? I really was sorry to hear they weren't coming this year. And here I was, finally ready to break down and try those deviled eggs she always brings to a catered party.
Jessie's expression said she was not amused, but she kept her tone polite, somehow.
We had a big gathering yesterday, family only. It was a late night for them. Since I was bringing more people to this party than originally planned, I figured letting them off the hook would be better for your numbers. I remember that you gave very specific numbers to your caterers and didn't like any deviations. Not even to allow me one special friend I never got to see because of Matt's jealousy and mistrust of me having friends at all. I didn't want to put you out.
Both Aurora and Broken Sue's eyebrows lifted slowly. Austin grinned a little, and Neve was in pure rapture. Imagine all this hostility without it tipping over into a brawl. Fascinating. Very good self-control.
Oh, yes, Diana, right? I do remember her. Always meddling, from what I remember.
You mean telling me I had a right to...
And I heard that you've moved away. It's so quaint that you've settled into a rural sort of life. Big cities are hard to navigate. I remember you always had trouble. But now you can live a quiet life with your new person and his eclectic family. You were very quick to find someone new. But then I suppose you've always been used to a certain lifestyle and needed to find someone to provide that for you.
Oh, no, you've got that wrong, Lottie. Matt never took care of me. He paid for things so that I would take care of him. But yes, I found someone to handle all that. It feels good to be looked after for once. Not that you'd remember, right? How long has it been since your husband left?
Aurora, who'd come away from the buffet with a full plate of food, paused with a mini hot dog halfway to her mouth, staring at Austin. Broken Sue wore a little smirk, lifting his glass to his lips. Neve could not believe they were still pretending to be civil. It was madness. They were outright fighting, throwing down with words and still giving each other little smiles or chuckles. In the magical world, tension this intense always led to vicious spells or stab wounds.
Besides, I clearly didn't find someone new as quickly as Matt did. He moved on before the ink was even dry on our divorce. He's been engaged for months. I sure hope you gave him just as much derision as you're giving me.
Is that what this is about?
Matty's mouth puckered, like she'd won some sort of victory.
It's unseemly for a woman to move on so quickly. Everyone knows that. It makes her seem desperate. But this makes more sense. You grabbed the first yokel you could because Matt had found someone else.
Jesse stared at her for a silent beat, and the emotions Neve felt through the Ivy House bond were all over the place. Neve couldn't pinpoint just one. Lottie pushed her advantage.
I hadn't heard you'd gotten engaged, either. That must have been recent. I hope it wasn't a Christmas proposal. That is so unoriginal, almost tacky.
Jessie seemed to shrink before the other woman, as if the wind was going out of her sails. Austin tensed and turned away, his emotions calm but his eyes tight. It couldn't be easy for him not to go to Jessie's aid. This must have been what it was like at the dinner the other night. These people used personal information to make vicious attacks, but their duplicity was hidden behind light tones and condescending smiles. Very effective. Neve had used the same tactic on enemies she wanted to incite. But these people used it on family. They'd clearly used it on Jesse when she and that bollock were together. He'd give her a verbal battering. Then the mom, whom he'd surely learned his tricks from, would follow up. It seemed Jesse hadn't been allowed to have any friends for backup or support. It had been just her for all those years, dealing with this shite and not having the money to walk away, the know-how to fight back, or maybe even the realization that this was not normal. Come on, Jesse. Eve tried to pump her full of the desire to fight, to battle, to blow things up. Another wave of the same feelings came through the bond from someone else. Mr. Tom. He must have been within earshot somewhere. Then another, Edgar. Probably having no idea what was going on, but joining in anyway. You could always count on that vampire. another addition. Ulrich, then Jasper, joining in for the sake of unity. Syra's addition felt like fire itself. That was new. And Hollis's was a stiff breeze, igniting Syra's feeling of flames. The bonds echoed with the crew's battle cry, with their need to rise up and fight back, to push Jesse to claim her destiny, her freedom, her self-worth. She wasn't alone anymore. She wasn't in this storm by herself. They were with her in all things. And finally, Austin joined in, a steady drumbeat of power, of strength, of support. Jesse's back straightened within the gale of the other woman's condescending smirk.
I feel sorry for you.
It was clear she meant the words. It wasn't the war cry Niamh had hoped for.
If you truly think a woman moving on after a divorce is desperate, I feel sorry for you. If that double standard is the reason for your current loneliness, your bitterness, your need to push these arbitrary rules on other people to drag them down to your level, then my heart goes out to you, truly. But you are delusional. If you can look at Austin and call him a yokel, you know as well as I do that there is no one in this house who is as handsome, successful, and quite frankly, well-dressed. He is also the most charming, considerate, and supportive man I have ever known. You can try to make me feel bad about a great many things in my life, but him and his, my family are not on that list. And he doesn't need the timing of a proposal to be original.
She lifted her hand, ring held out toward Lottie.
When he's slipping a 2-carat Harry Winston on my finger.
She turned away like she'd just dropped a mic, strutting past two people who'd been blatantly listening in and staring to boot. Coming to a stop in front of Austin, she took his hand and gazed adoringly up into his eyes. He bent to her, a shifter and therefore not needing a piece of jewelry to show the world where his devotion lay. His posture screamed, "Mine," and his lips touched hers softly.
What do you say we go see what Jimmy got for Christmas?
Sure. Lead the way.
After they left, Aurora drifted in closer.
Two things. First, where'd Mimi go?
A front room with Patty. Next?
Her brow quirked in a slight expression that meant bollocks to Niamh. These two were just too much work when they were together.
Does that mean it's go time? Was that enough of Jesse pushing back?
Niamh pointed at Lottie, who'd moved farther into the kitchen, and Niamh could see she was speaking to Jesse's ex. He looked a lot more haggard than he had in the pictures Niamh had seen. The man clearly wasn't aging well.
Look at the state of that woman. She's all flustered. I'd say that was Jesse pushing back. Green light. Let's roll this party.
Right. Okay.
Aurora looked around, and her gaze finally landed on broken Sue.
Susan, shall we mingle?
A smirk showed through his hostile expression.
Sure.
Do you know how... I'm not good at this sort of thing. Mac got the social genes, I got the...
scary genes.
And what are you on about asking this one if he knows how to mingle? He's bloody useless at making friends. Everyone knows that. Ah, make the best of it. Yes, go and drift that way. You're both attractive and look the part. Hopefully that'll be enough.
What are you gonna do?
Drift the other way and annoy people. I'll bring the cooler.
And everyone knows you excel at that.
What are you, Captain Obvious?
Niamh refilled her glass, refilled Broken Sue's as well, and put the bottle away before picking up her cooler.
Or maybe I'll hang around here. I haven't decided yet. I need to feel things out.
Either way, it was time to make people uncomfortable and hopefully cause havoc.
So, Aurora passed Sue so she could get a drink and then pointed toward the kitchen. What do we do? Do we just go over there and stand around a little, or... He glanced down at her.
You really are bad at this. Did you not talk to anyone in your pack?
I did, yes. Because I knew everyone in my pack. And if I didn't, they knew me. Did you not grow up as an Alpha's kid?
No. I grew up as the adopted son of an older couple. I was shy and a late bloomer.
Ah, she nodded, no longer focusing on their surroundings. It wasn't prudent to ask more, given their respective positions within the pack hierarchy, but this was a family event. So she was just gonna kinda drift along and see what he'd say. She knew he'd shut her down if she overstepped.
So you got picked on quite a lot then, huh?
She took a look around again. The setup of this house was a little odd. Through a short hall to the right, there was a family room out of the way, with a Christmas tree and people chatting. They headed in that direction, meandering slowly, people glancing their way.
We should look friendly.
This place was busy and pretty crowded. Gazes stuck to them, and some people outright stared. But no one stepped forward like they would have in her dad's pack.
I am containing my aggression.
That probably wasn't gonna be enough, but whatever. Judging by the body language of the people around them, they were making everyone uncomfortable just by walking around. Alpha energy for the win.
I did get picked on. Yes, mercilessly.
They arrived in the living room. Jesse was sitting beside Jimmy on the couch, looking over something in his hands. Austin stood near her. Another woman, Aurora didn't know, with tanned skin, straight black hair, and a big smile, sat on the other side of Jimmy. Mr. Tom was off to the side, watching Jimmy and the room. He took his protection duties very seriously, it seemed. Jimmy was a cool guy who was easy to hang around with, though, like Jesse. So maybe Mr. Tom just enjoyed his company.
It wasn't usual for a kid to get adopted into the pack. We grew up in a rural place, secluded.
How'd you get adopted? She half held her breath, knowing the question was an incredibly personal one to ask a beta.
I got dropped off on the edge of town in a basket. Newly born, with just the items from the hospital in the basket. I was left under a tree. The patrol brought me in and my parents offered to raise me. They hadn't been able to have kids of their own.
She blew out a breath, not really knowing what to say, and blurting out the first thing that came to mind. Did your birth parents not want you? She slapped a hand over her mouth.
I'm so sorry. That was incredibly rude. I didn't mean to say that. No,
it's okay. I asked the same question when I was told I was adopted.
I don't mean to pry.
You do.
He glanced down at her again with a small uptick at the corners of his lips. His version of a smile. He took a sip of his drink, then grimaced.
Oh, this stuff is intense. I tracked my birth parents down in my late teens. My birth dad had been an alpha, a gorilla like me. He was up in his years and didn't relinquish the pack when he should have. He was challenged, given the choice to step down or fight to the death. He didn't step down, and he didn't win.
And your mom couldn't stay in the pack and raise you?
She probably could have, but from what I learned, it sounds like she probably wanted a fresh start. She was my birth father's second mate. The first left when he started losing control of the pack. Seems she saw the writing on the wall, but my birth mum didn't. And she was young. Too young to know better, maybe. Maybe too young to care.
Maybe both.
Maybe she saw the opportunity to be an alpha's mate and took it. Or maybe my birth father had a lot of charm. I don't know. I didn't get any of his charm if he did.
I don't know about that. Some people find intense, menacing stares very charming indeed.
Only Neve. And she's no my type.
Aurora spat out a laugh and turned away so her uncle wouldn't see. Something about this dark, brooding beta made her feel lighter somehow. Like he'd taken all the storm clouds for himself. And she got whatever sunshine was left over.
I got the feeling that she was very pretty, but low on power.
He watched as Auntie Jessie stood,
and slipped her arm around Uncle Ozzy. Uncle Ozzy pulled her in a little tighter, turning her way and bending toward her possessively, showing the whole room that she was his. His mate. His heart. His everything.
I guess she didn't see a future with a newborn and no mate. She thought it would be better to be without a baby.
She wasn't there when you visited the Pat?
No. She left before having me and never went back. I might have been able to track her down. I had her name, but I didn't bother. My parents were still alive at the time and they'd cared for me all my life. Knowing my history was enough. Knowing my father was an alpha answered some questions. Questions that would later become very important as my power continued to grow. In my early 20s, with a newly established mate, I got to that precipice you felt before you came to this convocation. I needed a challenge. I needed more. I could have challenged for the pack I grew up in, but I knew it wouldn't be enough for me. Instead, I packed up and moved to the much larger pack of my birth father.
Which had been taken over by another alpha.
Taken over by a lackluster alpha who'd seen an opportunity and cashed in it. He wasn't nearly as strong as me. Wasn't as strong as my birth father had been in his prime. And the pack was languishing.
You stepped in?
Aye.
But you didn't have any experience.
No, but my birth father had been loved in his prime. He'd done well for the pack. The only issue they'd had with him was his refusal to step down when the time came. When she heard that I was taking up the mantle, his first mate returned, promising to help me where she could. The former Beta acted as counsel and so on. I cobbled together a good team, and they all helped me get up to speed. Once I got some experience, I found I had a knack for leadership and got things back on track.
And your birth father had no other children?
None. Just me. He might have seceded if he'd had a child earlier, I don't know. From all the stories I'd heard of him, he'd been a true alpha. A good alpha.
Part of being a good alpha is knowing when to step down.
Aye, but if you have no one qualified to take your place, except a stranger, an opportunistic, lackluster alpha...
Ah, the new leader was a stranger. Gotcha. And your birth mother never came back even after you took over?
Well, not that I know of. But I wouldn't have known unless she came looking for me. I never asked for a picture, and she could have changed her name.
He shrugged. I would have been burning with curiosity.
I can imagine. You have no end of questions for me now.
She felt her face heat and didn't press further. Eventually, the conversation would bump up against the battle that had taken all he cared about. She didn't want to open those wounds. Instead, she watched Auntie Jessie chat with the woman on the couch as Jimmy and Mr. Tom tried to work out a puzzle box or something. Do you think she'd mind if I just call her Jessie? Aurora noticed people edging a little closer to her and Sue.
I don't know.
Jeez, man. Stop with the long-winded answers already. Aurora could tell Uncle Ozzy had essentially tuned the conversation out. He was only hovering close to Jessie now because of their obvious and incredible love for each other. Aurora would never forget what it had been like when Jessie was on the brink of death. Her uncle had guarded his mate day and night, not leaving her side, openly crying in front of both packs. His desperation had far outweighed his training. I don't know if they are relationship goals, or if I'm afraid of loving someone that much.
She completes him.
Aurora blinked for a moment before slowly turning to look at Sue's face. Nothing in his demeanor gave his emotions away. Is that from the movie Jerry Maguire? Are you trying to be funny?
I never have to try. It happens naturally.
She could feel her smile bud. And when he looked down at her with glittering eyes, it grew. You're dumb. A woman walked their way. She had hopeful determination on her face, until Sue met her eyes. And then she turned, flustered, and quickly veered to a group of two couples. Quit scaring people away.
I will say this much. Since I'm older and wiser, a love like theirs doesn't happen often.
He was watching Jesse and Uncle Ozzy. Aurora was just going to go with Jesse and watch her cues to see if it was welcomed or not. It felt more natural because she was more like a friend than an aunt.
They traveled a hard road to find each other. But even lesser loves are worth it. It's better to know how love feels, how to give yourself to someone, how to form intimacy and create memories, than to travel through a cold life alone. It's a rush to feel truly vulnerable with someone, to fall to your knees admiring her smile. I still remember the looks my mate would give me when I did something unexpected for her, like pick her some wild flowers or take the kids to the park so she could have some alone time. She looked at me like I was her hero. I'll never forget that rush and how it felt to be on my knees before her, looking up, feeling no regrets. I will never regret mating her, even though on this side of things, I'd rather curl up and die than trudge through another day without my family.
Aurora stepped a little closer until their arms brushed each other, offering him her support. He leaned in a little, the touch firm now, suggesting he needed it. Great heavens, this man was hurting. He needed a bigger support system, more friends. He needed help. She knew he was too proud to ask, though. Or maybe he was still that shy, late bloomer, not good at making the first move. I had a lot of fun at Christmas yesterday. It was a really good day. He didn't respond, probably not trusting his voice to do so without giving anything away. We should do more gatherings. I'm sure Jesse would be game. Maybe some dinner parties. We could watch Uncle Ozzy try to teach Jesse to cook and eat whatever becomes of it. She felt his movement and glanced up to see his small nod. And the woman from earlier turned with a plastered-on smile that amplified her nervousness. She took the few steps to join Aurora and Sue.
Hello.
The woman was probably in her early 30s, with short blonde hair, cheekbones to die for, and green contact lenses. Her mauve A-line dress was tasteful and conservative, and her chunky black boots were super cute and somehow worked.
I don't believe I've met you two. You're here with Jacinta's group, aren't you? Didn't I hear that?
She pointed at Aurora.
She's your daughter, right?
Aurora gestured toward Uncle Ozzy. I'm his niece. The woman blinked in confusion, then pointed at Sue.
But aren't you his brother?
Then she pointed between Aurora and Sue again. She did love waving that finger around.
Doesn't that make you...
Ah, Aurora nodded, seeing that Sue intended to make her do all the work here. That wouldn't last much longer. I see the confusion. They're both my uncles, actually. This one was adopted. She hooked her thumb at Sue. But we're all family. My dad lives in Wyoming. I'm with these uncles for a work thing.
Oh...
The woman breathed out with a smile, bent and gestured with her hand. Very expressive, this Jane.
I wondered because...
More pointing.
You two don't look the right ages. Well, unless you...
Another point at Sue.
Started very young.
He would have needed to get started when he was about... 15, right, Sue?
14.
He leaned in, so only she could hear.
I'm 39 for 4 more months.
Possible, but improbable. Aurora noticed the woman's dazed, starstruck expression as she gazed up at Sue. She clearly wanted alone time and a phone number. Or maybe one of those quiet corners Jasper was so good at finding.
Wait, did she call you Sue?
I'll leave you to explain that one, Susan. Aurora stepped away. He looked down at her, and his body screamed.
Don't you dare leave me with her.
Aurora angled her head and twitched up her shoulder just a bit.
Good luck, sucka.
She stepped away, just as Uncle Ozzy and Jesse started toward her. Hey, she fell in with Jesse as they headed back toward the dining room. What'd Jimmy get?
He always gets weird presents from this side of the family. A puzzle box and an obscure comic book and some other things. The only good one was from his dad, because Camilla bought it.
Was that the woman on the couch?
Yeah, she's had a hard couple days because of me.
It's not because of you, it's because of him. You are not in charge of how another adult behaves.
I know. I just feel so awful for her. I think she's afraid to call and talk. He handles the bills, he can look and see who she's called.
Yeah, but what are the odds he'd look and spot your number, though? Jesse gave Aurora a look that said volumes.
He checked my calls every month and quizzed me on several of them. If it was a call to a friend that was a half hour or more, he interrogated me on what I was talking about.
They reached the dining room, and Aurora topped up her wine. She spotted Neve just outside the room with her cooler in hand, chatting with a man who was doing a terrible job hiding the fact that he was enraged. Neve showed zero signs of a similar emotion.
Hey, babe, I'm gonna head back and save Broken.
Uncle Ozzie touched Jesse lightly on the arm.
You're good?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Uncle Ozzie headed off. As he went, Aurora noticed Jesse's ex heading back toward the kitchen area from somewhere deeper within the house. The guy saw her uncle heading his way and stopped dead. Fear lined every inch of his body. Uncle Ozzie had clearly made an impression. The ex quickly about-faced and headed back in the direction he'd come. Not a minute later, three women about Jesse's age sidled toward them from the living room area, where Patty was still chatting up a storm, and Mimi was standing by listening. Mimi was probably gathering the information Patty was sussing out and figuring out ways to blow up conversations with it. That, or start trouble by gossiping about it. Mimi could be incredibly destructive when someone threatened her people. She and Patty didn't always get along, but it seemed they could forget their differences when facing a mutual enemy.
Dang it, spoke too soon.
Jesse threw on a big smile for the newcomers. The women all kind of looking like different renditions of each other. Similar dresses with reasonably high necklines, loose waists and skirts, simple necklaces with a few gems or diamonds, and a draping scarf and 3-inch or less pumps. They were conservative to the point of bland. Aurora would bet anything these were the people who'd convinced Jesse that a woman hitting middle age had to dress a certain way or be faced with ridicule.
Jesse, hi!
The first, with perfectly straight, bleached white teeth, threw out her hands in a faux display of excitement and friendship. They hugged, the woman rocking Jesse from side to side before stepping back so the next could do the same. And then the next.
Hi, Pamela, Jody, Bess. How are you all?
Jesse's lack of enthusiasm was evident.
Just great. Oh, it's been so long.
The first of them, Pamela, made a show of pouting.
I wondered if we'd ever see you again. You moved to the other side of the world.
I don't know how you do it.
This one's hair was fairly short and very blonde.
Living in the sticks?
She gave Jesse an incredulous look.
All the bugs and critters? Ooh!
Not to mention everything shuts down early, right?
The third leaned in.
What if you need to run out in the middle of the night for, oh, I don't know, wine or something? You'd be stranded.
Oh, what would I do without delivery? Am I right, girls?
They all started laughing. Jesse merely smiled at them, offering no comment.
This is my niece, Aurora, by the way.
They looked Aurora up and down, the set of their shoulders and the tightness of their jaws saying they were intimidated.
Well, look at you, girl.
Pamela glanced at her friends and then leaned into Jesse.
To be young again, huh?
Yes.
The second narrowed her eyes slightly at Aurora.
Though I'll never understand young women these days. They make a big stink about smiling. Don't they know they look positively wretched if they look miserable all the time? No offense.
She offered Aurora an insincere smile.
But you all don't care about marriage either, right? So I guess you don't care about getting a man.
Aurora added a heavy dose of power and hostility into her eyes and bearing. All three women's smiles faltered, and they quickly shifted their attention back to Jesse. How these women hadn't been killed by now was anyone's guess. They wouldn't last one day in a shifter pack.
Too bad looks fade. But look at you, Jacinta. You've lost weight.
Yeah, I work out with Austin a lot. My fiancé.
She showed them the ring.
Oh my God.
Pamela turned and thrust Jesse's hand at the others.
I heard about this a moment ago. Is it really Harry Winston?
She narrowed her eyes at Jesse, dropping the hand.
He didn't just buy one of those boxes on eBay and slap another ring in it.
They started laughing like it was a joke. Their bodies didn't lie, though. They were as jealous as people could be. Self-conscious, too. Sucking in their stomachs or holding their arms in front of their bodies, those things made them incredibly spiteful. And from there, it was a quick jump to destructive.
Is he one of those Paul Bunyan types? I mean, don't get me wrong, he's handsome, and he looks great for the party. But does he live in flannels and board shorts?
The third nudged her friend.
They live in the boonies. They don't wear board shorts. They wear holy sweats.
He wears threadbare jeans a lot of the time, actually.
Jesse looked out at the other people, clearly bored.
White t-shirts.
She looked back at the third.
And he looks hot in them. Well, you know. You've seen him. He'd look hot in board shorts or holy sweats, too.
Their excitement at seeing Jesse again was waning fast, and their scowls and snarls started to crack the facade of politeness.
What'd you say he does? Venture capitalist?
Investor, but he also inherited a sizable trust.
And you? You take care of an old house?
Yes, basically. I manage a very large estate, and the people who work there, like the cape-wearing butler, he came with the house. As such, I can use the funds for my own benefit, when needed.
Like lipo?
Oh, I got a tuck done after I took on the house, sure.
That explained away what the magic had done.
But the rest was through working out. Again, you've seen my fiancé. How do you think he got that body? He's helped me get in shape.
Well, you're sure showing it off in that dress. Are you sure you should be exposing so much of yourself with your son here? I mean, he's probably embarrassed that his mother is dressing like the girls he's in college with.
Or like your niece.
Pamela indicated Aurora. She tilted her head to the side.
It's not a good look, Jesse. Your fiancé doesn't have any kids. He doesn't realize.
You gals are really something. You know what? I'm glad he doesn't realize. And even if he did, he would be supportive of my feeling confident in my own skin and wearing this dress because I feel pretty in it. My son is not embarrassed, no. I'm happy that he is witnessing a woman in her midlife owning her body and kicking ass. I hope when he's in middle age, he supports his partner like Austin supports me. And my niece, she can speak for herself.
Aurora waited for all three pairs of eyes to find hers again. She held them, letting loose more of her power, pumping out the wildness she struggled to keep at bay and slamming it into them. Their eyes widened, and Aurora leaned in a bit. Stop tearing other women down to feel better about yourselves. It doesn't help you, and it makes other women miserable. Build each other up. We should be sticking together and supporting each other. It makes us stronger, enough strength, and we'll be invincible.
Well said.
Jesse nodded at them.
Great to see you three, as always.
Aurora wouldn't wish their company on an enemy. She stepped away from them without another word, leaving them entirely speechless. Wow. She followed Jesse toward the front room.
Oh, that was nothing. In the past, I had frumpier clothes and a mate who belittled me. I tried to stay on the outskirts of that group and not get noticed. I now realize I was easy pickings.
Jesse looked over her shoulder, stopping at the edge of a single step leading down to the adjoining room. The three women stood with their heads together, speaking animatedly, obviously pissed. Jesse smiled in elation, looking away again.
That felt so good. I felt in control, like I had some power for once.
Aurora furrowed her brow. You have more power than anyone in this house. Jesse shook her head.
Magically, yes. I was gifted that power.
Socially?
She shook her head again.
I've never had any power socially. And while I was gifted the money to buy this dress and have nice things, it didn't fundamentally change me. O'Brien's did. Austin did. Mr. Tom and Neve, your dad and his pack, Sebastian and Elliot Graves. My new life has given me confidence. It's given me trust in myself and those around me. It's given me a sense of individual power and self-worth. I didn't let those ladies get to me. I held my ground. I came out on top for the first time ever, and it felt freeing, amazing. This whole trip has felt freeing, and I couldn't have done it without you all, without your support.
Aurora was hugging her before she'd thought about it. It was easy to show affection to this woman. She felt grounded when she did it, rooted in the bond of family and friendship. They barely knew each other, and yet it felt like they'd known each other forever. You were meant to be in our family. You were meant to glue us all back together. I believe that. I've never much believed in fate, but you fit too perfectly for there to be any other explanation. A balding guy in his early 50s sauntered over. He had red cheeks and a red nose, with salt and pepper hair combed over his scalp in a sort of puff.
Hello, Jesse.
The man's smile was a little icky, for some reason. Aurora couldn't put her finger on why, but something about this man threw her off. She didn't want him too close, a gut instinct. And if this were the magical world, she'd force him back. Or prepare to fight. Given that it wasn't, she had no idea how to handle the situation.